Good morning, Valley Brook.
Good morning.
We are doing things a little bit differently this morning. So I am supposed to start things off, and then the worship team is going to come up and bless us with their musical offerings. But I am to do the call to worship, and I'm going to start with Psalm 48:1. Actually, I'm going to share three verses, and they're all from Psalm 48. Psalm 48:1. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. We visited our grandkids in South Carolina last week. And the oldest, who is just about to turn six, wanted to make sketches of us. And so she had us pose. And she said, "Stand very still, Pop Pop." And she's biting her lip, and she's sketching, and she's drawing, and, well, you can imagine what the finished product was, because it looks strikingly similar to the drawings on refrigerators all over the world, but it was supposed to be us. But we praised her work. We praised her work as though it was a Michelangelo masterpiece, because we wanted to build her confidence and her self-esteem.
Yes.
Well, that is not why we praise the Lord.
All right.
He doesn't need us to build his confidence or his self-esteem. We praise him because he is most worthy.
Yes, he is.
Of praise.
Yes, he is.
And no matter what we say or do, no matter how long we sing and worship, we cannot exaggerate his greatness, because the scripture says his greatness is unsearchable. It's unfathomable. It is unimaginable. But there's another reason why we praise him. God is good
all the time.
Amen. And all the time.
God is good.
And sometimes we believe it.
Well,
other times, not so much. Mm-hmm. Praise helps us to believe it.
Yes.
One of the purposes of praise is to help us to believe what is true of who God is.
Yes.
Focusing on his greatness helps us believe it. Lifting up his name helps us believe it. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to confess, I was a bit perplexed about a familiar verse from Psalm 37 that I'm sure you've heard. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that was perplexing to me because it sounds a bit like the Lord is a means to something better. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So it sounds like the Lord is a means to something better. Almost like if you do your job, you'll get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Or like we might promise a child that if he does his chores, he'll get a cookie or his allowance. But if we are able to genuinely find our delight in the Lord, that is, if we're able to powerfully and consistently connect with the truth of who he is, if we're really able to delight in him, according to the scriptures, delight in him as an inexhaustible source of wisdom, which the scripture says he is. If we're able to experience that delightfulness in him, or as an inexhaustible source of love, an inexhaustible source of power, an inexhaustible source of beauty, an inexhaustible source of fullness, an inexhaustible source of peace, an inexhaustible source of joy, an inexhaustible source of understanding. If we can enter into the delightfulness of who he is, the truth of who he is, what could be better than delighting in him? What could be better? What desire could I have in my heart that's better than that?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's perplexing to me. Delight yourself in the Lord. What more do I need?
Mm-hmm.
if he can truly be this kind of a delight. So what are you talking about, Lord? To go back to my example, it's like saying to a child, if you eat all these cookies and then go spend your allowance, I'll let you do your chores. That only makes sense if the child loved doing his chores more than the cookie or more than the allowance. See, the truth is, the Lord is not a chore. The truth Amen. Is, the Lord is not a job. Amen. The truth is, he is the primary delight of the universe.
Yes, he is.
That's who he is in truth. He is the one who satisfies our souls at the deepest level possible.
Yes.
That's who he is. That's the truth of who he is. Everything else, the other desires of our heart, they're blessings too. But they're secondary blessings. They're secondary. They're subject to the primary blessing. So like anybody else, I do want the Lord to give me things. I do want the Lord to fix stuff that's broken. I want him to bring into being things that do not exist that I think are good things. So I do pray for the tangible, practical areas in my life. But now I realize that Psalm 37:4 is saying, if spiritually you make the Lord your delight, he'll take care of the earthly things you need and want.
Amen.
So you don't have to be preoccupied with trying to get all of that. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll take care of the rest of that. And in fact, you'll find that much of the rest of that you don't even want.
Amen.
You just thought you wanted it. You'll find that much of the rest of that isn't what you need. You just thought you needed it. So
yes.
Delight in the Lord and all the rest of that takes care of itself. So that verse in Psalm 37:4 is really a sibling verse, if you will, to Matthew 6. Seek first his kingdom
yes.
and his righteousness
yes.
and all these things will be added to you as well. The primary blessing is he himself. It's realizing what we have in him and who we are to him. He is the it. Of life. He is the it. And Jesus said, I am the life. I'm what you're looking for. You want a life? I'm it. That's why he is most worthy of praise. And that's what this Sunday is set apart to do, is
yes.
to give him the praise he is most worthy of. Amen.
Amen.
There is a difference between praise and worship at a concert.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Psalm 48:9. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. We looked at Psalm 48:1. The Lord is most worthy of praise. Psalm 48:9. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Others have failed to love us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes maliciously, sometimes unintentionally. We have failed to love others.
Yes.
Sometimes maliciously, and sometimes unintentionally. And we generally think our unlove towards others is far less intentional and malicious than theirs is towards us.
Yeah.
We've also failed to love ourselves by afflicting ourselves with poor choices, unhealthy thoughts, negative attitudes, unbelief.
Yeah.
But God has never failed to love us. As it says, his love is unfailing. He has never failed to love us. And he has never failed to love us perfectly. There hasn't been a day in our lives when the Lord's love for us, when his goodness to us, as we were just singing about, has been anything less than perfect. Because he is one who loves perfectly. I want you to consider this recent entry from my journal. I don't have to explain anything that I am or anything that I have done to you, Lord. I don't have to justify myself. I don't have to rationalize my actions. What I want to do is unfold. What I want to do is open my heart to you. I don't want to hide from you, because hiding is fear-driven.
Yes.
And whoever fears is not perfected in love.
Yes.
I never want to fear that you are out for something other than my extreme best, even when I am at my extreme worst. I want to be confident that you know me, you know my name, you know who I am so well that you know how to handle me better than I know how to handle myself.
Yes.
Grant that, oh God. I want to draw near, not fear. I want to draw near, not fear. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. We don't really get to fully experience the power of Christ without becoming aware of our own weaknesses. Which means that we're going to sometimes have to have less than stellar performances in the various arenas of our life. But despite our shortcomings, we are not just a work in progress. We are his work in progress. And what glory there is in his work in us. So we come to him in prayer, trusting that he loves us right where we are, even as he takes us to glorious places beyond where we are. Psalm 48, 14. Still in Psalm 48. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end. Faithfully leading us, faithfully monitoring our lives to the very end of our lives here. This God is our God forever and ever. What we have in him is a forever thing. A forever thing. In the words of Henry Nouwen, mostly we are willing to look back at our lives and say, I'm grateful for the good things that brought me to this place. But when we lift our cup to life, we must dare to say, I am grateful for all that has happened to me and led me to this moment.
Amen.
This gratitude, which embraces all of our past, is what makes our life a true gift for others. Because this gratitude erases bitterness. It erases resentment. It erases regrets and revenge, as well as jealousies and rivalries. It transforms our past into a fruitful gift for the future.
Yes.
And makes our life, all of it, into a life that gives life. I say to the Lord quite often. I want to feel life just like every other human being. I don't want any human sensory within me to be shut down. I want to feel all of life. The ups, the down, the dark, the light, the bitter, the sweet, the tough, the pleasant. I want to feel all of what makes us human. I want to feel it as a human being, but I want to process it like an immortal child of God. And God is able to do that. You are able to sit in the midst of the full experience of being human and feel the supernatural touch of Almighty God in the midst of it.
Yes, hallelujah.
We don't need to fear anything that life throws at us. We don't need to feel a prisoner of anything that life has thrown at us. We are not captured by the past. We are free in Christ. And when we can lift the cup and say, I am grateful for all that my life has been. All that my life has been. It leads us to a bright new path. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace.
Thank you.
The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous. It's outrageous. It's absurd. It's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving. It's significant. It's a significant piece of this promise for surpassing peace. Thanksgiving reminds us of who God is, of what he has already done, and therefore what he is capable of doing in our present situation. Thanksgiving is our transport to a heavenly perspective. Thanksgiving is our transport. Catch a ride.
Yes.
Catch a ride. You don't like where you are. Catch a ride. Thanksgiving is our transport to a heavenly perspective. Well, I wish you could have been in Sunday school today when Rhonda was sharing a piece of her story about how she was in such a place of anxiety and upsetness. And how God supernaturally intervened and took her to a place where the situation hadn't changed. But Rhonda had. Rhonda had. And she knew she had. And she blessed us with that. This is not philosophy. This is reality. This is truth. In everything, give thanks. He is a God of both instant results and of process.
Yes.
He is the one who answers while we are yet speaking. And also the one who answers in due season.
Yes.
He's the same God. And because he has shown us his faithfulness in both. Amen. He has shown us his faithfulness to be a God who instantly answers even while we're speaking. And he's also shown himself to be a God who answers perfectly in due season. Because he has shown himself to be faithful in both. Today, we can trust him for either. So we will leave this place this morning offering thanksgiving to the one who is most worthy to be praised. As he continues to reveal himself to us. As the majestic one that we've sung about here this morning. Let's say with all my hands just for it. Beautiful. Beautiful. Amen. Lord. Lord, we just thank you that we have not seen nothing yet. No, we ain't seen nothing yet. Thank you, Lord, that that is the truth. Eye has not seen. Lord, we know that our present sufferings are not even worth to be compared, the scripture says, with what awaits us. Lord, and that's not just in eternity. It's as you become more grand and glorious to us. The best is in you. The best is in you. And we thank you that you are in us and that you will be in us forever. As we leave this place, we ask, Lord, that you help us to remember that you are with us. You didn't stay here. You didn't stay in the room here. That you're leaving with us. You're leaving in us. And the glory that we share here this morning lives in us. The glory of the Lord lives in us. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the amazing fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Wonderful worshiping before you.